Mini episode 139 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number 1stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, welcome to mini episode number 139. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down the Mad Men season 5. A finale and the season itself. We haven't really done this on the show previously, but we had on Bob Glassman to talk about the final Sopranos episode. But in as much as since I didn't have HBO, I was more just asking him questions. This is something I actually watched along with you, Kyle, during the year.
Yes, and by the way, it's been too long since I've done these. When was the last? What was the last mini episode I did with you? What number was that? It's always a treat to come on here and talk anything with you.
Yeah,
Ricky,
thank you.
The listeners are the true winners.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, the listeners truly are. And it's great.
Except
when
you play Hall and Oates, by the way, or as I like to call them, Siegfried and Roy with guitars.
Oh. You're not going to say you hope something happens.
No,
with
no, I wasn't.
Animals, are you?
No,
okay.
In that my head, I was trying to make that joke, yeah. But I just couldn't. I couldn't at the top of my head.
They're good guys. John Oates, former Lounge guest, by the way. Looking forward to getting Daryl Hall on at some point as well. Would you like to participate in that conversation?
I'm okay.
Okay, yeah, you're good.
Maybe Jake can work an MMA question.
All of Jake's questions for guests. And we got Jesse Ventura coming up in the near future. They're all Ron Paul and MMA.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Holtz. When was the last time you had Mr. Hall on a guillotine? Did you guys exchange go-go platas last night?
We love you, Diggs, but it's the truth. You know it. Every question to a guest is MMA or Ron Paul.
Why did I do that? Hey, I'd rather listen to MMA questions than Ron Paul questions.
Yeah. The thing that he's waiting for in life, the unified theory of Jake Digman, is when he can ask a question of somebody that involves MMA and Ron Paul.
Yes.
That would be outstanding. Well, what we are doing here today, contrary to what you might think listening to us at the outset, part one, actually. We're going to break this up into two pieces.
Because I talk a lot, usually.
Season 5. Well, I do, too. And we're going to have a lot to talk about here. Season 5 of Mad Men. We just got through this. And one of the things that inspired the notion of breaking it off a couple episodes into the season and basically taking the first couple episodes and even what led into this season was the notion that when you and I were taping some other mini episodes previously, when the season was going on, I remember mics were off. I think I was packing up. I was getting ready to leave your place. I was like, so what do you make of Mad Men this year? Do you really see anything happening here, any theme, any direction? And you didn't really see one either. This was a couple episodes in. So it kind of took a while to see where they were going with this. So I figure the first one here we can do where it was still kind of hazy and all the things leading up to it, because season 4 was such a departure with Don Draper being single during the season. There was a long break in between seasons 4 and season 5 because of the dispute with Matthew Weiner and AMC and Lionsgate and all that good crap. So I figure we'll just take that part of it in the first one here.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
Would you like well, to fire the opening salvo here?
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, I'll set the table here. Again, season 4, as we were talking about off air, that depending on what happens in season 6 and season 7, on whether they leave Don Draper basically by his lonesome subsequently, season 4 will be the one that's remembered in many ways for. It was Don Draper's period of his life in between his wife, his marriage to his former wife, Betty Draper. That was finally and irretrievably done after season 3. And then season 5, he ends up married to Megan, the secretary in the office. There was a very sudden thing at the end of season 4. He'd sort of been on this journey. He'd gone through season 4. He was having a rough time of it being single, drinking a little bit too much as it was going along, and finally had gotten into a relationship with that Dr. Faye. He'd been trying to get in her pants for so long, finally was. I'm sorry, did I put too fine a point on it?
No.
This is Don Draper here.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you should say that, and it's funny because I'm not in this group of people. I think season four found Don is unlikable as he's ever been in the history of the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people, when they look at the Don Draper character, and I'm not included, I don't know if I'm weird, tend to focus on the negatives, the evils of his character. Oh, you know, the evils of the advertising industry, his alcoholism, mm-hmm. his excessive smoking, his womanizing. To me, while those are important themes in the show, he's ultimately, and you don't want to reduce things too simply, he's a very, what makes the character work is he's a very typical, and he has a slant certainly in this world that the show sets around him, alpha male kind of character.
Right.
You know, ultimately, you know, there's not a blueprint for an alpha male character on any show.
Right.
But ultimately, there are so many, every great show has a strong alpha male. Tony Soprano,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Matthew Weiner being a Sopranos writer and part of the inner circle, you can see the similarities. The critics talk about it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some similarities and there are obviously some differences.
Yes.
They're a very different world where Tony Soprano was in a present-day sort of contemporary gangster role and Don Draper is a, you know, in the past ad man.
If I were to get all art hipster on you, I could say, are they really such different worlds, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah. Well, you know, and some people would say that. Probably.
Yeah.
And to me, I think they are. Now,
yeah.
there are some similarities. There's some differences. But, you know, even another alpha male character that's totally different that I don't think anyone is like a Hank Moody in Californication.
Okay.
You know, ultimately, what I think attracts people and keeps people with these shows is, and maybe I'm wrong. I could be totally wrong with this statement. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you know a lot. How many people you know that watch Mad Men, and you could say, well, Kyle Everett, I talked to, completely disagrees with what you just said.
Okay.
But to me, it's, you kind of, as a man, you look at Don Draper, the character,
yeah.
with a certain affinity. Like,
right.
I tend to, you know, I kind of read, oh, he's so sexist, oh, he's accessible. It's like, yes, but he's a TV character, folks.
Right.
You know? And it's, in many ways, the alpha male character kind of projects things. It's like, okay, yeah, that'd be awesome if I could be like this, but you know you can't.
Right.
You know, so,
yeah, it's a little wish fulfillment.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And this season was interesting because after he was so unlikable
mm-hmm.
in season four, he was very neutered. It was to me, the big thing
mm-hmm.
with season five was you got happily married Don, which you never had before. He was married, obviously,
right.
throughout the bulk of the show. But, you know, there was always the infidelity when he was married to Betty and you know, going out the happy hours with Sterling, as I like to say.
Right.
You know, where you didn't have that. You know, there was even early on, Sterling would be like, hey, you know, let's go out. And he's like, nah, I'm just going to go home with my wife.
Right.
And that was a big thing. But it was kind of subtle. You're right, to your earlier point, to bring it full circle and let you go again. The stuff in the first couple of episodes was very subtle. It was kind of like, oh, okay, this is entertaining. You know, there
right.
weren't any bad episodes. There wasn't like, God, that was 48 minutes to an hour of my life wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as plot advancement, you didn't know really what was going on. And overall there, I don't think there was that much compared to the other seasons.
Right.
I thought plot advancement was the most minimal in this past season than it had been of five.
I think it really was. And you look at it, although I could see a lot of groundwork from previous seasons going into this season, and we'll talk about that more so in part two and how that manifested itself. But I'll just say in the two-part part one, if you will, of this season.
Two-hour
season premiere,
which
yeah.
did not feel like 2 hours, to my point.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining.
It was.
It just kind of set the standard. If you remember, the first, like, 40 minutes of it,
it was kind of like, what?
It was,
we waited a long time for, like, not a whole lot happening.
Yeah, nothing's really, it's like,
yeah.
oh, Don is, it was just like, oh, everything's so great, you know? It was kind of like, you know, they'd come in, they'd be drinking, talking about how great life is. Don would be walking
yeah.
arm in arm with his wife. It's like, wow, I guess you can't get any better. I guess, you know, these
yeah.
guys have all, everyone's won. It's, you know, life
right.
is grand. And he was entertaining. I mean, Sterling got off his usual like one-liners. I remember he first walks in, it's like, oh, Roger Sterling's back. I love Roger Sterling, in full disclosure. But
I laugh every time I'm over at your place in the reading room when I see Sterling's goal. That never fails to make
me
smile.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy's great. I mean, like, I love the season finale, by the way, when he calls, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, Megan's, you know, he's been trying to get through all day.
Yeah.
And he finally gets to Megan's mother. He's like, look, I used all the French I know. I mean, what do you want me to say here? Okay. But, yeah, it took a while. They were just basically setting the scene, you know, reemphasizing. And that's key, because there was a long break.
Right.
You know, you can't, for people especially like me, mm-hmm. that's kind of helpful. Like, I love Previously On, because right. I need to constantly be reset, because that's just me personally. It's not
sure.
Saying the show's fault. But it's, you know, you like to be reset, and it took a while for
them
to reset.
It was like 18 months
That's
till
a long time.
One.
You can't
yeah.
expect people to remember all the intricacies of a show that they watched, you know, 18 months ago.
I was able to remember more from the last Dallas, to the Dallas that I watched last week yes. than I was from the Mad
okay,
Men episodes.
Sure.
You know, so it was, you had it set up, and again, you didn't know where they were going to be going at the start of the season with Don, because he'd been through this journey in season 4, and you're right, he was unlikable, and it's always broadly telegraphed to the audience the times when you really are supposed to find him unlikable. When the one secretary basically threw crap in his office and stormed out of there after he had sex with her, you know, because she felt used. I mean, that was the thing, like, okay, yeah, Don is, you know, using his status as the successful hot guy to prey upon vulnerable women. That was like, okay, you are supposed to, in that moment, think that Don is being an a-hole. And you had that in season 4. This whole journey that he went on, and then the sudden proposal, the
and
final
it was
episode.
Sudden.
Oh, my God.
I remember talking to you when it happened. I think yeah. I was out of town. As a matter of fact, I was out of town.
Yeah, I think you were. Yeah.
I was out of town. And I remember you texting me, you're like, Don's getting married. Like, what? Like, I thought it was, I honestly, until the credits came on.
Yeah.
This is how naive I was. Until the credits came on, started yeah. rolling, and it was very, and I looked at the watch, it's like, okay, their time is up.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting it to be a dream sequence.
Which, we'll be talking about that in part 2 this year, because there was a thing that was a dream
yeah.
sequence that we didn't think was.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly the opposite. That was one where, I remember, in season 4, I think you were, as I recall, having to do kind of a cram job on episodes later in the season, were you not? I think you were having to catch up on them. So I don't even remember at the time.
No, Mad Men, I've always been, Mad Men, believe it or not.
Okay.
I've always been very good at usually watching. Now, this past season, I fell behind. I had to watch the two great ones.
Okay.
I watched the two great ones right before the finale. I watched the last three episodes
so
all
So you're
the
watching
week.
It basically the same way I am.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. Yeah, believe it or not, Mad Men, I don't know if it's just the time of years it's on. I always, you know,
yeah.
or it's on a little later, too.
Right.
So
right.
in the day, so usually there's nothing to compete with.
Well,
it's
something
sports
to look forward
wise.
To at the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, like in a couple weeks,
Breaking
I'm looking
Bad
forward
now,
to Breaking
yeah,
Bad.
Now, Breaking
yeah.
Bad, I had to, like, catch way up on season 4. I fell way behind. It was one of those things.
You know what's funny? I just say this for a second here, because we're going to be doing Breaking Bad Season 4 recap, Season 5 preview with Nate Noy in the next couple weeks here. I just got it on DVD, rewatched the whole thing start to finish in like 24 hours. It was a thing where I found it a lot less satisfying than watching it in real time. Because
really?
In real time,
I'm never like that.
No, because in real time, week after week, you're dealing with the cliffhangers, and the whole week you're waiting for the next week.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell's going to happen here? Versus with Mad Men, I don't know. With Mad Men, because it's not done exactly the same way, and we've talked about this before, Mad Men is, it's so different than Breaking Bad in the sense that with Breaking Bad, it's, okay, how are Walt and Jesse going to survive to keep going forward here?
Yeah.
Versus, and Mad Men, that's the thing, following all the threads with all the people. Yes, Don Draper's the lead character, but you're following a lot of stories at once, and I think that's why you and I were confused early in the season, because here's what they did.
He became almost a secondary character for part of this season, I thought.
He did, because what they were doing was, and maybe this was a deliberate thing because of the super long hiatus, they'd spent so much time away that they made sure to get us re-immersed in what was going on with just about all the main players before they really put it into overdrive.
Which was helpful as a
it
viewer,
was.
I think, which is helpful, because you know, when you think of Mad Men, what's the first character? There'll be some hipster who will probably give you a different answer just to piss me off.
Right.
But, you know, 99 out of 100 people you know, name character on Mad Men. Who are they going to name?
Well, they're gonna, Draper. Yeah.
So it's easy. I mean, just natural to forget what the secondary characters. So yeah, it was good that they did that.
One of the things that I liked, it took, I think, three episodes for Betty to get on there, and even through the year she was sparing. I always hated the Betty aspect of the show. I've always liked the show where it's centered around the firm. It's centered around the office. It's centered around that stuff and not the Betty stuff. The Betty stuff I have never liked from day one. And I'm not going to bash January Jones. A lot of people think she's a crappy actress. I can't say that. I haven't seen enough of her stuff to know that. But Betty is written as basically a turn-the-channel kind of character. She's got X-Pac heat.
It, you know, only on this particular program could both luminaries make pro wrestling references to January Jones.
Yeah.
Because it's funny with the X-Pac heat. I sensed her whole season 5 character. There was a little bit of, you know, she was being punished by the booking committee.
Yeah.
For being didn't you get that? It's like, yeah. Oh, you're going to get pregnant on our dime? Well, we're going to really just make you a worthless character.
Yeah.
You know?
She got the Miz treatment.
Yeah, she did. Like, didn't you kind of get that?
I
understand that the fine folks behind the scenes in Hollywood and Mad Men are probably far more professional than the fine folks up at Stamford, Connecticut. Okay.
Right.
But it kind of felt like that to me. And to your point, I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I let's bring it back to the Sopranos comparison.
Yeah.
I always loved with the Sopranos the episodes that focused on the mob family, not his real family.
Right.
That, you know, I mean, that's not to say I hated every real family, you know, home family episode, loved every mob family episode. But for the most part, that's where I lied. I think most
That's the
guy,
meat and potatoes. Yeah, that's most, what we're tuning in to see.
Because every show has a nuclear family. Most shows have a nuclear family. And a lot of times it feels forced with the female character. Like, I felt that way particularly later on in The Sopranos with, like, the Edie Falco episodes.
Oh, yeah.
To your point, like, it's like, come on. Like, I, you know.
Yeah,
God
nobody
bless
cares.
You. Okay, I feel for you. You got treated like dirt. And in many ways, January, you know, Betty Draper, the character, same way. But I don't know. Maybe she got, I don't know. She wasn't very good. I didn't watch the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday, wasn't she really bad on Saturday Night Live or something somebody said?
I heard that was the case. Yeah,
okay. Just punished. But it's funny that her character right now, obviously as Don's ex-wife and, you know, taking care of the children, they just can't totally write her out because she's a part. But she definitely seemed to lack purpose. You know, you know that Henry Francis, he's kind of a knob.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really care for him.
Right.
You know, it just seems like that they're decent people that no one really, that the, I don't know, maybe, again, I don't want to speak for every viewer of Mad Men, but I personally, and it sounds like you personally, don't, you know, it's when you see them, it's like, okay, yeah.
Right.
It seems like, it's like, well, yep, you know, meanwhile, on the farm, Henry Francis and Betty Draper are doing this.
Well,
and it seems very divorced, and that's the issue, I think, that I hit on it. It has very, other than the fact that it's Don's ex-wife, it has very little to do with the gears of the rest of the program.
Right. And we saw that early in the season, and it did hold up through the course of the year. So we won't have to be spending a whole lot of time talking about Betty and Henry Francis, which is a welcome thing, I think. But setting up coming into the year, and I guess this is where we bring it full circle for part one, where you were in the first episode with Don being happy with Megan and everything like that, it was a real cliffhanger at the end of season 4 because that proposal was so sudden, and it was, if you remember, the final shot of season 4, it's panning in on Don's face, and they deliberately shot it so there was, it could be interpreted, and that's how I interpret it, was a little bit of, what have I just done?
Yeah, like, it was almost kind of like knee-jerk booking.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know, to do that it's like, okay, well, this is just kind of like a shock thing they're doing, and to their credit, they did get mileage out of it. Like, Megan, it, you know, that role being Don's wife, there's a certain ceiling on it, and in many ways she was, you know, like Betty, but in many ways she wasn't, and she did an okay job. Like, I don't hate that character.
There's a lot of Megan hate out there, which I don't really get. And you saw it in episode 1 with the Zooby Zooby Zoo thing there, and there were but you know what?
That was just a hot chick dancing. Like,
it's a lot of chick commenters, if I may say this, that piled on her.
Well, that's
cattiness, I would say.
Well, why?
I don't like the Megan character. This is Betty 2.0. Oh, Megan. I think what it was here was...
I mean, what does she want to do? Like, you go back
to the book.
Exhume the body of Betty Ross and start protesting for female... I mean, that would have been silly.
Here's the thing, though. You want to take it back to booking, and we're alienating everybody in the audience. I know it doesn't watch pro wrestling, but whatever. There was a sense among the people that didn't like her that she was the Eric Watts of the show, that... Eric Watts would be fed everybody in WCW 92 to put him over, but that Megan, in every situation, she's so smart. She's so good-natured. She's so whatever. She's so talented. She's so whatever. And that she was being held up as this exemplar better than the other characters. And I think that's where, and to be honest with you, some of it was women being catty that didn't like Megan when I would see commenters or columns online, but some of it was,
a little bit of that's true. We had
a pretty good dynamic for four seasons, and you are now putting somebody in here as if from outer space and dropping them in to be central in the middle of this thing. I think it was a little bit jarring. A new major character with a capital M, Kyle Ross. I don't get the Megan hate. I don't get it, but that's the best I can come to explaining it.
Yeah, well... You know, to people's points that they're ignoring things, they're not, you know, being realistic enough with some things. The Don Betty dynamic they needed to poop or get off the pot, to speak, with that. Because it's like, okay, like, she knew he was cheating.
Right.
She knew about the lies, about the identity. It's like, either she accepts it and becomes completely submissive, mm-hmm. and basically is just a worthless character, or she does something about it and is kind of where she's at now.
Well, it was the revelation that he was Dick Whitman that really pushed her out the door. She tolerated being whored around.
That was a good episode, too.
It was.
Remember when she threw that down? Oh, man, his reaction was unbelievable.
She did. And yet, in the opening episode here, as we bring this around, Megan, at one point... later in the episode, just casually mentions to Don about, you know, being Dick Whitman. And you're left with the whole thing that, oh my, in the span between seasons 4 and season 5, not only did they get married, but somewhere along the line, he told her his deep, dark secret, which was very interesting, and which, again, paints the picture of what you're talking about. Season 5, submissive, married Don. Happy, and maybe not necessarily submissive, but happy, neutered Don, I guess, would be the whole thing.
Yeah, that's part neutered.
Of it.
Yeah, neutered. I felt...
Not submissive, but neutered.
Don Draper was a very neutered character in season 5. Would the Betty Draper character be better, it'd obviously be different, had she not gotten remarried? Like, would that be a better angle to take if she was, like, the single mom in that era?
No, because...
I mean, her character seems incapable of doing that, first of all.
Completely incapable, because you look at how much she looked down on Glenn's mom, the neighbor, the single mom in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
She never would have done that, never would have been that.
She was very much the nuclear... She represented that nuclear kind of, like, PTA-ish mom of the era, where, like, the idea of her working was almost laughable.
Well, And I don't know that she would have had to have worked, because with the money that Don makes... Mm-hmm. She would have gotten the child support and everything, but it would have been a matter of, in this instance, of her dealing with people's perceptions and everything like that. I mean, it's a thing now where she's married to Henry Francis. When people don't, if people just meet them, they won't immediately know that those aren't his kids, that people will assume that they've always been married, perhaps. Betty is snooty, cares about what people think, blah, 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 and, you know, we've all known people like that.
It seems like she just kind of settled for, and maybe this is why it's just like, ugh, so bleh. It just seemed like she kind of moved on to the Diet Coke version of Don Draper.
Right.
You know, a successful guy who's probably more important in the grand scheme of things, his job, than Don, but he's not the alpha male Don is. So.
Certainly not. So... That's something, again, we didn't have to see much of Betty in season 5, which was great, because, again, you know, her character, it was for once proportionate to how much we wanted to see her. I don't think most people wanted to see a lot of Betty the first couple of seasons, because though everybody I've always talked to felt the same way. The show was about the core meat and potato things that she was peripheral to. Plus, again, she was such a fundamentally dislikable character that you just didn't want to waste time having
to
look at her.
I'm glad you feel that way, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I always feel like here's this housewife getting cheated on and I don't like her. Oh, I'm some bad guy.
No, but that's...
Meaning me, personally, but as a viewer.
I don't know too many people that ever have liked the whole Betty Draper thing here. So,
good.
No, that's fine. Well,
good for people. Good for people you talk to.
Good. Well, we're bringing around part one here on a happy note. What a great way to leave that one on, Kyle Ross, here. People making us feel good about fundamentally disliking Betty Draper.
Okay,
good for us.
There we go.
We are exemplary people.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.